Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Mac Show. I'm your host, Jeff Gamet, and I feel like it's okay to say, oh, we have a special episode for you today. And I feel okay saying that because I'm hanging out with Patrice and Marty. So, you know, what a great way to start a Friday with good friends who are both clearly smarter than I am. And, okay, to be fair, I just set the bar pretty low. But, you know, it's great to get to hang out with both of you. Yeah. Patrice, how are you?
You set the bar low and we might kind of still stay under it. So it's fine.
How are you? I'm fine. Oh, what's that supposed to mean? Oh, you know what that means.
Yeah, I'm good. It's been a day. It's been a week. I'm exhausted. I have a big conference coming up on Monday, or Tuesday it starts in Berlin. So getting ready for that. We had an internal audit today. It's just one of those weeks. It's just one random thing after another. I had a flying lesson and a class. Practiced some navigation and flight and route planning and so on. So that was fun. Yeah, it's been
nice.
Been a week. I'm happy, but the weather is ish reasonable, nice, and it's warm and all of that. So I'm happy.
Well, I'm happy you're here.
Yeah, excuse me. I made it here. So that's I think, a very good thing.
Yeah. Okay. Then in that case, Patrice, I'm so proud of you. You made it.
You made it.
Well done.
Thank you.
Patrice gets a gold star.
Wow. I always wanted one of those.
And now you have
one. And now I have one. Wow.
Yep. And I'm assuming the master of gold stars, Marty.
Hey, yes.
How's it going?
What? I don't want a gold star.
I assume you give them out.
Yeah.
Students do well, they get a gold star.
That's hard.
When I think of gold stars, I think of the typing class that I was forced to take when I was in high school. And in the class, we had a parents' day where everybody could come in. And they had words per minute average. And they had gold stars, in each minute that you were increasing your word per minute. I got up to 14 words per minute.
I'm super proud of you.
Yeah.
You did better than 13 words per minute.
You know, the instructor said, I've got a special task for you during Parents' Day. You're going to be our official timer, because there was no way in hell did she want me in there doing exercises when the parents came in. So, gold stars. That's what they mean to me.
Then in that case, yeah. I have a nice amber whiskey for you.
Ooh. Ooh, that's like what the big boys get. I like that. Yeah.
Okay. Patrice, you can have one as well, or you can choose any other adult beverage of your choice as your special treat.
That's a difficult one. Now I have to think about that.
Okay. This is a good problem to have.
Yeah, that is a good problem to have. That's true. Says the person who barely ever drinks
Glad
at all.
Glad to be here.
So. So, Marty, I have a poor typing class experience as well. So when I wanted to sign up in high school for a computer programming class, they wouldn't let me, because they said the prerequisite for this class is you have to take a typing class. And I'm like,
why?
Why? What does using a typewriter have to do with being able to code proficiently using a computer keyboard, which does not function like a typewriter? Well, you have to take the class.
Fortunately, and so I they did. Stopped doing that.
It was so stupid. Yeah. And so I show up first day of class, and it's like a whole freaking semester of typing.
What the?
Yeah.
And it's these IBM Selectrics that look like they all belong to museums.
They were probably from the museum.
They probably were. And so we all sat there and did typing exercises, and they did the thing where they put I don't know, a piece of paper or a towel or something over your hands so you're typing without seeing, and then they're doing the whole thing about how you have to double space, and of course you don't double space on the computer because that screws up your formatting. And anyhow, yeah, so I did a semester of typing so that I could go take all the computer classes that I wanted. And it, I mean, the whole time in the class, I'm like,
This is
when am I
stupid.
ever going to use a typewriter outside of this class ever again? Well, when you get into the business world, I'm like, no,
Yeah,
that
nope.
computer down the hall, that's what
Yeah.
I'll be using.
Exactly. And I mean, these days you barely need a typewriter. You could literally dictate.
Right. Yeah. So I used a typewriter in the one semester typing class, and I have never touched a typewriter since.
You know what's crazy, Dev? I was like, wait a second, how old was I? Probably early 90s. I wanted a typewriter as a gift from my grandma for Christmas, and I got one.
Now, see, at that point, a typewriter was like this really mysterious
Yeah,
relic, and
it
having one
was.
was it
Yeah.
was a different thing
It
when
was
you
a
got one like
toy.
in the
I mean, I
90s.
was
It
like
was a toy. Yeah.
7 or 8, maybe. It was a toy. I played with it. I never used it, I think, maybe other than like t because my handwriting was always crap. So it hasn't changed that much. It's gotten a little bit better, but it's still back. So crap. So like I would type letters to my grandma, like for Christmas and whatever, her birthday and Easter and all like that. That was probably the only use it ever got.
Yeah, well, I was
Totally
trained on
worth
a
it.
mechanical one, and so I was like, and it was not very good,
Mechanical.
obviously, 14
Yes.
words per minute. And so I would press the key really hard, and I still am a very hard typer today. But when we got a Selectric, like Jeff is talking about, those keys got triggered so easily that I would often hit the key and hold it down and do a series of whatever letter it was because I was a hard typer. You know, I couldn't get the use of it. So
Yeah, the crazy
anyway.
thing is there are still places today where they use typewriters in business or like government more. Right. So
That is crazy.
that's the crazy thing.
That is absolutely crazy. All right. Well,
Or fax machines, heard of those?
okay. So as long as we're not talking about Apple stuff,
there's nothing to talk about.
so there one of the things that I do is moderate webinars for companies, and crap, I just completely went off. My brain just rebooted. What did you say?
Fax machines.
Fax
Fax machines.
machines.
Sure, we're
Thank
talking
you.
about.
So I did a webinar for an enterprise level software company that services the healthcare industry, and their whole thing is being a SaaS product for faxing. So when the faxes come in, the fax goes in digitally into their system, and then it uses AI to go through the form because there's no standardization in forms and figure out what's in the form so it can put it into the system the way it needs to be, instead of companies just having a thing where they're electronically sending data back and forth. And
I'll tell
yeah,
you
it's big business.
in I mean, it was 2017, 18, 19, when I was in Phoenix. We had in the Phoenix data center a bank of kind of, yeah, it was like, it was a phone line, like a physical phone line that would go into like a box basically. And that was an electronic fax receiving service that we mm-hmm. offered for our medical like customers. So they could have a digital fax inbox, which was really just a fancy email, right? Because yeah, it's all it does. Easy. It's like, take the fax, put it in a PDF, put it in the correct folder, done.
Yeah.
Yep. We sold that.
And companies bought it.
Yeah, it was good business.
Yeah.
But the sad thing is, it's probably still running and there's probably still customers on it.
Oh, I'm sure you're right.
Yeah. It's medical. Medical field. It's not that fast.
Yeah, my wife has a retirement account and they will not take attachments of documents. Say if we want to withdraw mm-hmm. something from the retirement account. Has to be done through fax. So there are fax apps out there. I have them where I can convert the PDF and then send it out and things like that. But it's just, it's wild that they won't take digitally.
And you can be sure on the other side, there is probably one of those electronic fax services. So you're taking a PDF, turning it into a fax, and the fax, or at the other end, the company is taking the fax and turning it into a PDF again.
Yep. If I were a betting man, I would bet that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen solutions like that where it's like, whatever, one medical provider will print out the documents, hand them to you. You deliver them to whatever across the street to another doctor who takes them, throws them in a scanner, and then throws them away.
Yep.
So I'm like, efficiency.
The one that that to me was like the ultimate in why was being in a doctor's office where they were like, oh no, we send the electronic files mm-hmm. to the hospital and it's great.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched what they did. They had a PDF, mm-hmm. they'd open Microsoft Word, place the PDF in Word, and send the Word document.
Oh my God. Oh, that's even, I've seen those as well. Yeah. Like put the Word document in that. Or I've seen, I think someone at our university was doing that. Send an email. He typed up the email in Word and attached the Word document to the email. So no text. The email had literally the Word document, no text.
Oh my God. I believe you.
Yeah, I
believe that people will actually do that.
That was the funniest thing. I'm like, yep, can do that.
Yeah. All right. I guess we should talk about some Apple stuff at some point.
Yes.
And I thought maybe we should start with the MacBook Neo.
Mm-hmm.
And there we go. Okay. On a side note, I've been seeing a lot of discussions online about macOS Big Lake and how there's a bug where it doesn't register mouse clicks mm-hmm. consistently.
Mm-hmm.
I thought my Magic Trackpad and my Kensington Orbit were both dying at the same time.
And your brain was broken.
And my brain is broken. And it turns out it's a bug in Tahoe. Something that should be so basic to the functioning of the operating system. I'm registering a mouse click.
Mm-hmm.
And anyhow, so what brought that up is I went to click into our live chat and paste the link that I just pasted in. Mm-hmm. And I had to click three times before it actually registered that I had clicked.
And then it clicked three times.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no place like home.
Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh. Oh, I don't want to go to Kansas.
Oh, yes.
Anyhow, so I dropped two links in because they kind of go together. Mm-hmm. So the first one is a report about Apple ramping up MacBook Neo production. And demand for the Neo is high enough that they're bumping it up to 10 million units production.
Yeah.
Which doesn't surprise me because I have yet to come across anyone who has a serious problem with the Neo. It's
Oh,
like
there is a
everybody
serious
gets what the
problem.
computers. They don't have enough to sell.
Well, that, yeah, and it's just too good.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah.
just
The
too good.
people who have serious problems with it haven't put their hands on it, write articles that complain about it, dissuade people in Reddit groups not to get it, but they've never used it. Yeah,
Yep,
it's
yep.
Yeah. No, but I mean, is one, I mean, we don't know if any of that is true because, supply chain rumors are always a little bit unreliable. But it's kind of believable, right? Because, I mean, Tim said this has been the biggest launch ever, basically, of a product. And a lot of the users are first time Mac users, actually a large chunk at least are like first time Mac users. And I mean if you try to order one, I think it's like 4 weeks out or something. 3, 4 weeks, something like that. You can't pick it. You can sometimes, if you're lucky, pick one up at the store, but you have to get really lucky. But
Wow.
usually
All right,
you
I'm
have
going to
to
look right
pre-order.
now.
Yeah, you have to pre-order. So yeah, is that a surprise? No, I mean it's like Apple, and I think I said it last week. I'm like, they're probably bumping production for other things right now and being like, oh, I mean, worst case, they're gonna ship whatever the next iPad a week later or two and use that capacity because they can. Right? Production lines are not infinitely scalable, infinitely flexible, but production schedules are to some extent because products that haven't been announced, Apple can shift around. Like, okay,
True. Yep.
we'll whatever. We'll start production on the iPhone a week and a half later, which means we'll have whatever X amount less. So there will be a little bit of a constraint maybe, and either we ship it a week later and simply shift everything like later, or we just announce it as is, but it's just gonna be constrained a little bit more. And hey, presto, we got another week or 2 weeks of Neo production.
All right.
Yeah, I think that, okay, Jeff, you've got delays.
So the delays that I'm seeing right now, I just picked the 512 gig silver Neo, because that's probably a very common build for them. So if I order, it'll be delivered between May 4th and May 11th.
So
If I
about 3 weeks
Yeah,
ish.
and if I want to pick up in a store, May 13th.
Which means it fourth probably delivered on the 11th, and then you can pick it up on the 13th or something like that.
What about the pink one?
Well, let's see.
Because
We'll
that's
change it to
the one
pink.
that everybody has to have except me.
Well, that's the one I'm still trying to convince myself not to get.
Have to keep scrolling. Delivery details. Same.
I mean, since they're probably all more or less built to order at this point, doesn't matter as much.
Yeah, I kind of think the ramp up is because they're anticipating, or they've already gotten approached by enterprise and or education.
I mean, that's for sure.
For the fall. I mean, for for enterprise probably sooner, but for education, the cycle will be sometime after July 1st. So, because that's their annual budget, at least here in the US. So that's what I think this is a response to. They anticipate heavy. And then with that comes a bunch of new Mac users. In an educational or in an enterprise. So you're still going to have folks that are making that transition from either Chromebooks in school settings, or some Windows in school settings to Mac, to the Mac operating system. So.
I'm not so sure this ramp up is really related to that because I think Apple, I mean, I don't know, was it Gruber? Someone said on some other podcast this week or last week that I mean, Apple has, Apple is probably one of the best companies in the world when it comes to production, when it comes to forecasting, when it comes to having contingency plans over contingency plans. So 100%, they had this plan in stock. They were like, okay, we're guessing whatever. The pessimistic view is this one. The optimistic view is that one. If we reach this point at or this number at this point, we're going to pull the trigger on this plan. Like, they had all of that already prepared and planned. So this is just executing on something they had already planned. They had already factored in that they would get educational and enterprise orders. Maybe they're getting more than they thought, but Apple doesn't want to have a lot of channel inventory, right? So 4 to 6 weeks is usually their target. So unless they're delivering to a company or a school district or a school within the next 6 weeks, they're not producing that yet. If this is really demand that's happening right now, that's what they're looking at.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to add in the next part of this, which is a piece that Mike Werthel wrote over at Apple Insider, which is that now that we see the success of the MacBook Neo, Apple needs to make a Mac Neo, so a desktop version of the Neo, to go along with it.
Isn't that the Mac Mini, kind of?
Yeah.
I mean, they could rename it, right? It could be a Mac Mini comes in fun colors and is actually more interesting again, because it kind of gotten boring at some point, which is fine, because it's not supposed to be fancy. It's not supposed to be crazy. It's just a workhorse.
Yeah, it's just this little box that does all the stuff.
Yeah.
Call it the Mac Benny.
Mac Mini. Yeah, that's funny. No, but I mean, I think yes. I mean, why not? Apple might want to cash in on the Neo name and say, hey, there's a Mac Mini Neo, or Mac Neo, actually probably more Mac Neo, and it comes in fun colors and it's maybe $100 cheaper than the Mac Mini, and that's it.
Well, I mean, if they're popping an A processor in there, instead of an M processor,
yeah, exactly. They can do that.
Yeah, and considering what a Neo costs, if you take the expensive part, the display off of it.
Yeah, and you don't need a battery.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, as I said, I'm sure they could do that. I don't know how big the demand for desktop is, but they could.
And maybe it's my thinking. I'm not applying it to average consumers, but it's sort of like, yeah, I can manage the Neo. I took it to the office this morning and sat through a meeting and worked on it the whole time, because there's not a lot of stuff for me to pay attention to in the meeting. Worked fine. Did everything I needed it to do. When I come home, I want a little more premium experience. And so I'm looking at a tier up from what I carry around with me. I don't know if that's true for average users. If they just take the price point and go with it.
I think for a lot of people, it is the price point. For people like us who have needs beyond what I'll say the average user has, web surfing, online banking, doing email, occasional Zoom or FaceTime stuff with family.
Yeah. Random Word documents.
An A-Series. Yeah. An A-Series Mac would probably be just fine.
No, it is.
But for like us, we need those M-Series processors. We're doing a lot more.
I mean, we had that discussion, right? We've talked about it, I think. So so the question is more, is there a market for a desktop Mac in a Mac Neo, right?
Like a $399 desktop Mac.
Yeah. And I can see that maybe for school still, like for the, don't know, is are schools still doing like computer pools where they have like rooms full of computers, or is that like a thing in the past? Okay, so that would be a use case for that. Companies for sure some companies still do that. Like if the ones that don't want to do mobile devices for, let's say, security reasons or whatever, they still do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, there might be a use case for that.
That's yeah, I'm trying to think of its Windows side compare competition. And I own one of these somewhere here because I needed to get a Windows computer because a colleague who passed away had all his stuff on a Windows, and they wanted me to go through the files to find out documents that were needed for accreditation and stuff like that. And so I bought one of those little square box Windows things for $300.
Like a Nook.
That whole line. You can find tons of them. Yeah. And I compared processors and what I thought I needed and stuff. But we're talking the $300 basically desktop range with them.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I'm not convinced, but I mean, Apple has the numbers. If they see a market, if they see a need, they could do it. It would be fun to see.
Yeah. Right.
It doesn't have to be. I mean, that's the thing. It doesn't have to be a smashing success. Like, I mean, the Mac Mini is, I mean, recently they sold a little bit more, but like they haven't sold tons of them. The Mac Pro, they haven't sold tons of them.
Yeah.
Not everything has to be a Neo or iPhone level success for Apple.
I'd say the Mini is a solid, consistent seller.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. It's not a top seller. They sell far more laptops than desktops.
Yeah. I said recently with all the AI and OpenClaw and whatever, I think they've sold a ton, so much that they ran out of them from what we've seen.
There's a delay on those too.
Yeah. Certain SKUs are not available at all or with heavy delays, which I think could either be they're finally upgrading them, or they shifted the production line to Neos and they're like, we're just not making them. Nobody needs them. Probably a little bit of both. Right.
I think when the production issues with the Mini end is when the production issues with the Mini M5 begin. Because I think they're not going to put any energy in extending the life out of it when they're going to be releasing a new assuming we're correct, they're releasing a new M5 coming in June, probably for WWDC.
Yeah, something like that, or in September or October or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, at some point, yes. No, I mean, it's not even about the Mini, right? At the end of the day, it's like, do we want to produce more M4 chips? And the answer is probably no.
All right. So I have another story for us. And this one. Okay. So this is one that I found. It didn't come from Dave Ginsberg's notes. And just so everyone knows, most of our stories come from the notes that Dave puts together for In Touch with iOS, because he's really nice and lets us crib from them. But this is one that I found this morning. And and the headline in this piece over at Mac Rumors, Apple execs say spatial computing is inevitable. And then it goes on, talks about AI. And so to really get what they're talking about, you end up having to watch the video, because it's from an interview with Tom's Guide. The Mac Rumors piece, the headline leads with spatial computing. Yeah. And literally doesn't talk about that in the piece. But the point is that while there's a lot of talk about Vision Pro is a failure, and Apple has already canceled the whole product line, and they won't ever make any new models. Yeah, and here they are saying that spatial computing is inevitable. So this was an interview with John Ternus and Greg Joswiak.
Honestly, this is one of the rare things where Apple talks about the future. He didn't talk about like future Apple products, right? He just talked about, in general, the categories and inevitable. And he's right. Right. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I think I've talked about it. I'm like, I mean, the timeline is probably longer than we would hope for. And there's still tons of things we have to figure out and solve, but it is inevitable because this is how humans work. Right? We walk around, we look at things and whatever. And if a computer can't do that, then it's always at a disadvantage. Like right now, you have to take out your phone to do something, or you have to take out your MacBook to do something. And the difference with spatial computing is like you can literally do things in a 3D world, and that is more natural to us. So yes, I think it is inevitable. It's just not here yet.
Now, since both of you have Vision Pros and actually use them, are you using them for more than entertainment?
Yes. I mean, entertainment is a very broad category, right?
All
What
right,
does entertainment mean?
let me focus that down for you. Are you using your Vision Pro as a entertainment consumption device primarily? I'm thinking
No.
things like you're watching videos, you're watching movies, you're playing games.
I use them a lot
When
for
you
that, but
say,
it's actually not the majority of my time.
yeah, I would say yes to your question, Jeff. If primarily, when you say primarily, I'm doing, while I'm in there, I'm checking email, things pop up, stuff that could be distractions into productivity. But when I put that headset on, it's sort of like this is my time, not my business's time. If I'm on a plane, that might be different because I'm trying to get some work done, but.
I'm actually the opposite. On a plane, it's entertainment.
Yeah, on a plane, usually there's a reason I have to get some work done. It was because I didn't do it before the plane took off.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so what I'm
Makes
hearing
sense.
is on your flight to Max Stock, that's when you'll be working on your presentation on your Vision Pro. And I know I'm making a joke because you'll be driving.
I'll be driving.
So that's when he's gonna work. No.
Yeah, and we on Vision Profiles, we did a video of a guy who was driving in his Tesla with his
Oh.
Vision Pro headset on,
I wish I
watching
could
videos.
say I've not I don't know someone who's done that, but I actually do. There's a guy in InSpace who like was in InSpace with us and had this Vision Pro on and was driving around.
Yeah.
So, but not that we thought that was a particularly good idea, but it was a guy in China, so.
Oh, well, there you
You
go.
know, the argument is that the line is dead with and I yes and no are both correct answers.
Yes.
Yes, because I don't think you're going to see another rendition of a Vision Pro unless it has specific capabilities that are related to enterprise that enterprise would use it for. It's not going to be seen as a entertainment device. It's going to be seen as a productivity device. The answer to your question is it dead? If the answer is yes, if you say where they're going is just glasses. This was a way for them to create a device that happens to have some, has shown to have some enterprise and medical use right now. And that's being picked up, and there's lots of material on that. But do they feel they have to force that track anymore? No, I think they're going to go for the larger consumer model, which are glasses.
And I'm going to disagree with you on this. And not
All
on the
right.
point that they will not go for the consumer, because that is Apple's way. I'm 100% convinced they will release another Vision Pro, probably next year, late next year. Because Apple likes to push the hardware and everything as far as it can. And the Vision Pro is the top line of that.
Yeah.
So they will push the hardware and the software as far as they can forward. Basically, what's the next thing? What's the future? What can we do today that we couldn't do a couple of years ago? And that device is basically already, well, close to done. But you're right that the focus is on the consumer, because that is Apple's thing, right? Making computing accessible. Having this bicycle for the mind, idea and reaching more people. And the Vision Pro for sure is not that and is probably never going to be that. Just like the Mac Pro, the high-end Mac Pro, or even the MacBook Pro are not that, right? They're selling a lot of them because especially the MacBook Pro is let's say affordable enough still. But I don't think the Vision Pro will, at least not anytime soon, get there. But they will release another one because that is Apple in a nutshell. They also want to push the hardware.
Yeah, and I can't think of them giving up a whole line of immersive video because I don't think you can do immersive video on a pair of glasses. So the glasses will be limited in certain ways of what it can do, but it's consumer focused.
Yeah.
If they move and extend the Vision Pro line, you might see things that are sort of enterprise level versus entertainment kind of level.
Yeah, I think entertainment will still be there because, I mean, you've experienced that. I think it's still, it is a better experience than any movie theater, to be honest.
Yeah.
To be sitting with your friends across the world and watching a movie. The hardware will improve. I mean, it will get smaller probably. It will get lighter. It will get like better quality cameras and sensors, whatever. They will push that. That's why I think like the people who said the Apple Vision Pro is dead have no understanding how Apple works. And I've said that multiple times.
So, but the second part of your question about AI, I read an article that said somebody looked at the code and there are these four additions related to Apple intelligence in the code. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember what they were, but it was sort of like, meh.
Yeah, you know? there was some hints at 26.5.
Yeah.
But I thought nothing interesting, Apple's, but yeah.
Yeah, Apple intelligence is not there yet. When they talk about it being 27, I get it now.
But the thing is here also, the code that is in 26.5 is a remnant of what they're working on. The fork for 27 happened, I think, I mean, as far as I know, either early this year or last year already. It's usually somewhere beginning of the year from what I've heard from people who work there. They fork off. Right. Mm. So it's the code we're getting now is only the people who are on the side still working on things for 26. Which is also why you don't see a lot of features anymore, because basically everything was pushed into 27. So if there's a remnant in there, it was probably someone merged something back and there was like something they didn't see or missed or something. But this is not the whole thing. This is not the shipping 27 version.
Yeah.
But you're right. It was not super crazy.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me that it's a marathon with Apple.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. AI in general is a marathon. This is not about Apple. Like all the other companies work the same way. They might be better at marketing, funny enough. But AI is shifting so much that, I mean, what's true today is not true tomorrow. And I tell people all the time, like, do not believe what Anthropic is telling you. Do not believe what OpenAI is telling you. Do not believe what the X guy is telling you. Like, they're trying to sell you their thing, their version of the snake oil they're selling. The reality is different, and the reality is not as bright as they pretend it is. Yeah. It's an evolving story, and we're not there yet.
Yeah. So, all right. Before we move on, just one other thing I want to point out from this piece.
Mm-hmm.
They also in the interview talked about the iPad and the Mac and the whole discussion people have about, well, Apple is bringing them together over time and we're going to see a merged version of an iPad and a Mac. Mm. And Turner says, no, that's not a thing. that's actually not something we've been working on. We're not doing that.
I don't believe it. And here's why. Apple always works on almost everything internally. Given that iOS was forked off macOS, and iPad mm-hmm. OS was forked off iOS, and they to this day share a common core. I mean, to the point even where they pushed them closer together again because they had kind of diverged over time, and they wanted some more similarities on the underpinnings to make their life a little bit easier. They 100% have. No, we know they. We've had touchscreen Macs. Well, Mac-ish, right? What was it called? In the 90s, there was one.
The company that made the adapter kit for the iBook.
No, Apple had one. What was it called? It wasn't a Mac. It was kind of a. The eMate. Thank you. There was one device that was a kind of a touchscreen Mac. It wasn't really a Mac because it was based on a Newton, as far as I remember.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. But kind of like that. You can 100% guarantee that they've tried it. No, actually, we know they've tried it because in the David Polk book, they talked about it. That they, when they started with what turned out to be the iPhone, but was originally the iPad, they mm-hmm. they tried macOS because it was a contender to say, can we just run macOS? Turns out that wasn't working.
Which makes sense. It's the wrong kind of interface for touch.
And I'm 100% sure they have continued that investigation every now and then, where they will check in and say, could we do it? And they look at it and they decide no. And I think it's the right decision. My prediction still stands. I think the iPad is going to die. Slow, very, very, very slowly. But it is going to die. I know people don't want to hear it, but...
Well, every product that Apple makes is going to die because there'll be something else that comes along that will replace it in some way.
Yeah, well, except for the Mac so far. The Macintosh has been around since 1984, right? So it's been a while. I think the iPad will die relatively quickly compared to normal time frames. And the reason for it is... It is getting replaced by the Vision Pro. It is getting replaced by the MacBook Neo. It's gonna getting replaced by the iPhone to some extent. It's just getting replaced by other devices that people already have. Let's put it this way, mm-hmm. or that people are migrating towards. As I said, it's a slow death. It's not tomorrow. It's gone. Like it's gonna stick around for. I mean, I said like we talked about it, Jeff, yesterday that the context machine in 2023. I said about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere in the early 2030s, probably is it very slow death. It will probably still be around, but it's clear it's not gonna. Apple is basically not doing anything with it anymore.
Which on one hand is sad because for certain things it is so good. But
yeah, but I can say
the same thing about all my other devices.
Yeah, and it will simply get it like everything you did or you wanted to do with the iPad or almost everything will have gotten replaced by something else. Very, very slowly without you even noticing. It's like you will start using something else to draw, you will start using something else to do the things you're doing with an iPad today, and then eventually you're like, why do I even have this device?
That's how it always goes.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah, so, not surprised. But because of that, I don't think Apple will ever really merge macOS and iPadOS. It's just not worth the investment.
I don't think so either. I can predict I'm not going to be around here in 10 years. I think predicting something from 10 years from now is kind of an easy, it's a low bar to meet. Because who's going to check on you in 10 years? Who's going to remember this conversation and go, he said it right.
Brian from Context Machine, Chaffin,
yeah.
put it in his calendar. I actually have it in my calendar as well. No, I stick with that. I'm like, I've been around long enough.
I think they're doing some things with the iPad that make it, make the user interface easier.
Yeah,
that they're stealing from what has
for
been
sure.
traditionally a Mac way of looking at it. I don't see it becoming, I don't see those OSs becoming one at all. And then saying, well, we don't need this product line. Whether the iPad survives that, the changes in product lines where people are like, eh, just get a Neo. People start to choose differently based on their tastes, and their tastes change over a period of time. So a product is eliminated. iPods are an example of that. That it just, to me, I'm not going to speculate ever that those two, and there are people who really want that to be true, that those things will merge, and I just don't see it.
I also don't see why, to be honest.
Yeah. Why work so hard in that direction?
Yeah.
I agree. Okay, another thing we probably all agree on is that Odd Technologies is pretty cool because they are here supporting the British Tech Network. And what they're doing is making sure we have all the resources we need so we can live stream shows every single week so that we can have a place for the website to live and a place for all the show recordings to live so you can watch and listen to your episodes anytime you want. It takes a lot of resources to make this happen, and we're glad that Odd Technologies is here to help that be a thing for us. So thank you to Odd Technologies for doing that. And for all of you that are thinking, what is Odd Technologies? Well, that tells me one of two things. Either you're new to the show or you just don't listen. So to handle both of those scenarios, Odd Technologies is a company that does your remote location monitoring setup for you. So let's say you have a construction site, or you need to monitor sections of a railroad. You have Odd Technologies come in and set up all of the monitoring equipment for you, so that you can have all your remote monitoring happening. And they're really good at what they do. So go check them out at their website. It's Awe Technologies, awetechnologies.co.uk. Thank you, Awe Technologies, for being here for us. And Patrice, I would love if you could tell people about the live chat, because you are much more efficient at this than I am.
Okay, I hope I'm more efficient. We have a live stream, very cool, very innovative. No, it's not really. It is a good solution. It works. It's easy to use. It's kind of like you know it from YouTube or some of the other streaming sites. All you do is head over to live.britishtechnetwork.com. No registration required, nothing. Literally point your browser there. And when we are recording, which is Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for this very show, and also Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show, if you want to hear more about other kinds of non-Apple technology, like space, we talked about yesterday quite a bit, and chip design, and all other kinds of fun stuff. And then, as I said, you can watch us live, you can type to us, text us, message us, there's a live chat next to it. That's it. We post our links to stories and cool things in there. So all of the good things. If you are listening to this in the recorded form, you're like, oh my God, I really want to watch that video that Jeff just posted. You can still get to that transcript. The live chat, of course, is gone, but there's a transcript on our website. All you do is head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and then select today's date in the calendar, which is April 17th, 2026. If you pick that date in the calendar, you will see everything that we talked about in the chat as it happened. So go do that.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that, Patrice. And see, you are more efficient than I am at talking about that. Okay, it is time for some cool things. And Marty, sometimes it's hard to tell you two apart because you both have hair on your head and glasses on your face and you're wearing shirts.
Wow, Jeff, Marty, that's a low bar.
That's Okay, in my defense, this is only my first mug of tea today, and I have not had breakfast yet.
And you have
It's a
never had
wonder
to
I'm
drink it, so.
and there's no alcohol in my bloodstream.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyhow, Marty, tell us about your cool thing.
I ran into this, I don't know, probably on Reddit. I think it was and I'm looking for something like this, and the fact that this is customizable, I think, is pretty cool. This is a app called Radial. And I first got interested in these kind of pie menus that can occur because I have a MX Master 4 mouse that I use, and it gives a double click and you can get a pie menu to go to whatever you want to go to. And this came up and I thought, oh, this is pretty cool. It's an app that allows you to customize it for a variety of things. It's 14.99 euro. And that's a lifetime license. It's not a subscription. I think if from doing some searching that there is an educational version, I mean, educational discounts and stuff like that. But don't hold me to that. I picked up that through some other contact. But there are some really cool aspects of this. Now, there are other apps that have pie menus. And for example, there's Pioneer, which is a app for Mac OS. There's Kando, which is cross-platform open source. There's Launchy, and then there's Pi Menu. All of these, on their site, radialappverge.net, there is a page that compares all of those to Radial. Now, of course, those are going to be chosen decisions on Radial on what they're going to compare in terms of aspects of the apps, but it's pretty impressive. The other thing that you buy into when you buy into a user account, there's a free 7-day trial of this. But when you buy into a user account, you also kind of get into the community where people are sharing their templates. So you can create your own templates, of course, with this, which are neat. I'm thinking of trying to do something with Ecamm because that's a service that I use a lot, and it would be nice to try and test this out to create opening and closing different kinds of windows. This also, each pie, I think, has also sub. It will allow you to go to sub menus if you do that. That's what I've read. I haven't tried it yet. But the idea of creating a customized sort of pie for whatever product that you're working with sounds kind of appealing. If anything, it's going to be a good mental exercise for me. It's radial.appverge.net is where you can find it.
That's very cool. I played with a tool similar to this many years ago. Adobe, they released their own stylus for the iPad, and it was actually a very cool stylus. I don't even remember what it's called, but it's in a box in the closet, and it had a radial menu function with it, and yeah, it was pretty cool. So nice find.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
All right, Patrice, it is your turn.
Yeah, I'm gonna pick a weather app today because why not? There's a website or service called windy.com, and they have a pretty good weather app. It is definitely more for the, say, very special people that need, or for the people who need special things from the weather. It's not for like, oh, I just want to know what the weather is like tomorrow. There's like other good apps like what's the one with the personality? I'm blanking on it.
Carrot.
Carrot, yes, Carrot is a great app. But Windy is more for people that are sailing or flying or parasailing or like things like that, where it's like you're doing some sport outside or you simply want deeper weather model selections and stuff like that. It is free for the basic usage. So you can like you can basically configure things. You can say I want to know the wind in certain like heights, like in knots. I want to have these and these models, stuff like that. There's some basic things you could do, but you get I think a 3 hour like forecast window, so it's like 3 hour increments it forecasts. If you pay for it, which is not that expensive, like what was it, $40 a year or something, you get basically more fine-grained and more configurable things. And they have more on the website also things like you can do a route planning, for example, and say I want to fly for me or like sail or whatever from here to here. And then it will show you the weather along the route, stuff like that, or drive from here to here if the weather is important for driving. I don't know why, but if it was for you, you could do that. So it's a really cool little app, windy.com. It's quite popular in the like aerospace area. But I have seen that they also offer, for example, that for people who are sailing where you also are reliant on the wind, especially. Like also tides and so on, you can add to it. So cool little app, quite fun. Windy.com.
That's very cool.
Right.
Awesome. Right.
What's your cool thing, Jeff?
Well, my cool thing, I changed what I was going to do for my cool thing based on conversation we were having before the show, where we were talking about typewriters and Marty was talking about you're a very powerful typer. And so I changed my pick today to be Keychron keyboards.
Mm-hmm.
Marty, these are mechanical keyboards, so mechanical switches. And you can spend a lot of money on these or not. So when I decided to experiment with Keychron a few years ago, I bought the C2 wired mechanical keyboard, and I went with wired because I don't like the whole thing with Bluetooth. I have to wait for the keyboard to wake up, and then the computer to wake up, and then the Bluetooth. It's too slow for me, and then I have to charge it up. And anyhow, I'm into my wired mechanical keyboards. I ended up getting the C2, and it's a very inexpensive keyboard. Like it's $43.99 for this, and it has that's like the basic model. So if you want backlighting, it's a few dollars more, but it's under $60 for this keyboard with all the features. It's sold out right now, unfortunately, but it's because it's that popular. So I ended up getting the one that just has white backlighting for keys. And because I don't need to have a disco dance floor on my keyboard, but having backlighting can be nice at times. And and you can choose the type of switches you have for the keys, and the switches are swappable. So if a key dies, just put a new switch in. And that for me was a huge selling point, because I ran through so many keyboards over the years, mechanical keyboards, where a switch would die, but they were soldered. And so that meant that one switch dies and the keyboard's worthless.
Mm.
And now I can put in whatever I want. If I decide I want to have a different feel to the keyboard, I'll just buy different switches across the board. So anyhow, Keychron makes some very affordable keyboards that will stand up to the type of forceful typing that you and I do.
Can they make the keys farther apart? So the big, huge stumps that I have for fingers don't hit both. That's why I use Chiclet keyboards, just because there's less opportunity for me to roll off.
Well, some of that is based on what key caps you actually put onto the switches. And so you can get different switchers keys to put on the switches.
I can see this is going to be the rest of my afternoon.
I have two things to say. You're welcome, and I'm sorry. Because once you start going down this path and you realize what you can do with keyboards and how you can like really customize them, so you end up with a bespoke keyboard that's really what you want. Yeah, you can spend tons of time and tons of money.
Do they come with Touch ID?
They don't.
No, because that requires that secure enclave chip.
Yeah. Yep.
That's the thing that's stopping me.
I can appreciate that. Yep. So anyhow, there you go. Check them out. There's another one that I think is in stock. That's like it's like a yeah. Here we go. Here is. Come on, bring up the link. Whoops. Nope, not what we wanted. We want the actual link. Here we go. So this one is in stock and it's $65 and it's like an upgraded version of what I have, which was not an option when I bought the one that I have right now.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, you have options.
Okay, cool.
All right. So with that, it is now time for us to wrap up. Patrice, where can people find you?
I'm here every week on The Big Show and on The Mac Show. Everything I'm doing, social media links, podcasts, projects, literally everything on my website, thepatrice.com, will take you there. And with Jeff, I do Retro Rewatch. We rewatch retro TV shows. There's a new episode coming out tonight, so head over there. It's going to be fun.
Yes. What episode is coming out tonight?
What did
we watch, Patrice?
I've already forgotten about it. I think we had the first ones last week. So episode 9 should be Scorched Earth, I think.
Ah, okay.
Yes, Scorched Earth.
Mm.
Yeah, I had great predictions for what that episode was.
No.
No, I did not. No.
No.
I brought great comic relief to the show with my predictions.
Yes, you did.
Which is still great.
Yes.
Yep. Awesome. Okay, Marty, how about you? Where can people find you?
You can find me at Jencius, Jencius, on any of the socials, pretty much. You can connect me there. I'm on Blue Sky and also Mastodon, most of it. My website is thepodtalk.net, which has all of the shows that I produce and shows, connections to shows that I'm on, including this one. Two shows of note. One is the new show that we've started. We're into our fifth episode, The Neo Notebook. So you can get to that show through YouTube. And we record that live on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern time. And you can join the chat for that. And it's Dave and myself and Eric and Brett Kennedy, who has joined the team in terms of talking about the Neo Notebook. Surprisingly, a lot of information, a lot of articles still coming out about it. And then the one that's big this week for me in particular is Vision Profiles. We're doing our 100th show. I'm going to try and set up Ecamm like Pee-wee's Playhouse. And nice. With spaces for people to drop in, like, hey, look who's joined us. That's going to drive Dave nuts. And it is high risk, maybe high reward. So yeah, we're going to have some fun with the 100th episode, and some of you will be getting invites to come join us at Marty's Playhouse, for the night.
That sounds fantastic. Awesome. And congratulations on 100 episodes.
Did you say yeah. Marty's Madhouse? Did I hear that right?
Yeah, that's maybe a better title for it. I'm gonna have to crib some designs from Pee-wee.
I think you should. Yep. Okay. So then for me, Jay Gamut on the social medias, mostly right now on Mastodon and Pixelfed and BlueSky. And then shows Tuesday, Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live. Thursday, Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS. Then here for the big show and the Mac show on the British Tech Network, Brian Chaffin and I do the Context Machine, which Patrice referenced just a few minutes ago. And as she also pointed out, we do Retro Rewatch. Okay. So with that, it is time to wrap up. Thank you to both of you for giving me a wonderful start to my Friday morning. Both of you absolutely rock, and I am so happy you are my friends. Yeah, see, great things come out of getting into the whole Apple community, like meeting wonderful people. Yeah, so thank you to both of you. And thank you to everyone that's watching, listening live, participating in the live chat. All of you that watch and listen to the show recordings later, thank you as well. Hey, Ewan, thanks for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure there are people for shows. And Odd Technologies, thank you for being here and supporting the show. Okay, so everyone, don't forget to tune in next Thursday for the big show. Come back again on Friday for the Mac show, and all of you, have an awesome weekend.